WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. In the first part of our show, we heard from Jerry Conlon, who was unjustly convicted in England of being an IRA terrorist, along with his friend Paul Hill, his aunt Annie McGuire, and his father. Conlon's autobiography is the basis of the new film In the Name of the Father. My guest Jim Sheridan wrote and directed the film. The film stars Daniel Day-Lewis as Conlon. Emma Thompson plays the lawyer who reopens the case and proves their innocence. Director Jim Sheridan and actor Daniel Day-Lewis had worked together before on the film My Left Foot. In the Name of the Father is as much about a father-son relationship as it is about politics. In this scene, Conlon's father, played by Peter Postlethwaite, has just been imprisoned as part of the bombing conspiracy. Jerry feels angry and guilty about his father's imprisonment, but he's still rebelling against his father.
Why are you looking at me like that?
What?
Why are you looking at me like that?
Like what?
Why do you always follow me? Huh? Why do you always follow me when I do something wrong? Why can't you follow me when I do something right?
What are you talking about?
Huh? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the medal.
What medal?
The medal I won at football. And you could only see what I was doing wrong. I could never do anything good enough for you. And after the game, you came up to me and you said, Jerry, did you foul the ball?
This is shock.
And that's when I started the rob. The proof that I was no good.
I asked Jim Sheridan what made him decide to do a film about Jerry Conlon.
Lots of things, but to round out just a conversation with Jerry and to show you the kind of anger where I was coming from, Jerry got out of prison and his lawyer, Garrett Pierce, asked that they be given psychotherapy. And the only people who did this were the RAF, I think. And they said they couldn't do it because of the IRA connection. And Garrett Pierce said, well, you did it for the hostages from Beirut, and these people repeated and said, we can't do it because of the IRA connection. Now, Garrett Pierce then pointed out to them that these had been cleared in the court of any connection, but that didn't work. So the only healing that's been done is by my film. There's no apologies coming from the other side, and there's no sense of wanting to heal this case. All they have to say is they're sorry. And Peter Imbert, who Jerry mentioned as getting the information from the IRA that they did the bombing, retired as head of the Metropolitan Police as Sir Peter Imbert. So you have that on the one hand, and on the other, these poor Jerry is in many ways still 20. Paul Hill is still 20. Annie McGuire is very angry at Jerry, understandably in certain regards, but I think wrongly. And, you know, nobody is looking at the overall situation and saying, how come you change things by first apologising for the wrong. So nobody had apologised and nobody, and the Court of Appeal was dragging on and nothing was happening. And I saw this story and then I saw the fact that Jerry's father followed him. And that really crowned it for me. I saw this man who was like Orpheus in the underworld going in after his son into hell to try and rescue him, and he gets pulled into the vortex and pulled down. And then I thought, this is amazing. It's like a fairy tale, but it's different to a fairy tale because fairy tales end happily. And in this case, Giuseppe didn't get out. He died inside. That's the only difference.
The story in the movie focuses in a fascinating way about the father, Giuseppe, and the son, Jerry Conlon. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, Jerry Conlon sees his father as meek and as something of an embarrassment. And he sees his father's lack of confidence as responsible for a lot of Jerry's own problems. Jerry Conlon's book doesn't focus on the father-son relationship nearly to the extent that your movie does. Did a lot of that come from talking to Jerry, or is a lot of that stuff that you added in for dramatic reasons?
Well, it's a combination, you know. Because I wanted a father-son story, and once I focused that, I asked Jerry an awful lot of questions, you know, as you can imagine. Like, we spent weeks and weeks together before I start filming. And I drew certain of the facts from Jerry and I kind of tried to pull it out of him. And you must understand that there were a lot of things Jerry didn't want to face, you know. I mean, his father was in jail, not because of him, because of the authorities. But somewhere, you know, you have to hold yourself responsible. Mm-hmm. So Jerry had this, like, well of, like, guilt to deal with. And I didn't want to add to that. And I certainly didn't want to victimize him again. And I think that, you know, in very many strange ways, we have become close in a funny way. We've argued and fought, just like Giuseppe and Jerry, just like Jerry with his own father and the characters in the film. So, and in other ways, Jerry has taught me things. So between me and Jerry, the relationship is like, you know, I suppose, brotherly, father and son, argumentative. And that's the way it, you can't draw a clear line. So I took quite a bit from my own relationship with my own father emotionally and tied it to Jerry's story. But, you know, and fathers and sons are the same the world over. So it's a combination of, you know, forcing Jerry to tell me a bit more and drawing on my own stuff.
Daniel Day-Lewis plays the part of Jerry Conlon. You work together in My Left Foot.
Mm-hmm.
Was he immediately enthusiastic about taking on this role, or did you have to talk him into it?
Yeah, I had to talk him into it. You know, it's, you know, basically, like, if you're an actor, it's worse even than a director. I get people ringing me up and they're giving me scripts and their life will change, you know, is their concept if you do the script. So it becomes this terrible onus on you to read this stuff, and you read it and it doesn't even make it past page five. And, you know, they've spent months working on it. So that's what it's like for actors, mostly reading scripts. So I was very careful not to give Daniel a script and to let him get the full impact of the story. And I told him the story. I prefer to tell stories than...
Are you very good at that? Are you very good at putting a story across?
Well, I think we, you know, the Irish have that thing of being good at stories. I'm not sure that it's such a, it's a great talent in certain regards. But it's also a very dangerous one. But I am good at, yes, telling stories. But I then, you know, and then I would involve Daniel in meeting Jerry and whatever. And then Daniel was offered another few films, you know, where he would earn three times the amount of money. And, you know, it was the same with myself. You know, I could have earned an awful lot more by doing a, you know, commercial film. But we just decided that this was more important and we should do it. But we don't want to be clapped on the back for that, you know, because it's really painful to be doing films that are just commercial and, you know, you're into. And, you know, it's a hard medium if you're sensitive in certain regards, because you're getting up every day to try and push this stuff that you don't believe in along. So once you get something you believe in, you'll do it for, you know, a tenth of the price and feel 10 times as good about it. But, you know, I think, we were happy to do it.
My guest is Jim Sheridan, director of In the Name of the Father. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with director and screenwriter Jim Sheridan. Are you still living in Ireland?
I'm living in Dublin now. I lived in America for 7 or 8 years, but mm-hmm. Now I live in Ireland. Yeah.
Well, what kind of impact has your film had in Ireland?
You know, every time somebody asks you a question like what kind of impact it has, if you say that it's going to be, it's either going to be second to Jurassic Park or it's going to surpass it, you know, it sounds like it's a boast. But it has a huge impact in Ireland. I think it has an impact for, I think in many ways it has a very healthy impact, because it confronts the situation openly up front and it says a lot of things that needed to be said. And it says them in a non-violent way. And people need that. That's the stories that need to be told. The Irish story has never been told. The writers, news agency, has controlled the world media, and especially America, since the Second World War. And, you know, Americans have and British interests have been very similar, very close for all that time. I think basically until the collapse of Russia. And I think you'll find that a lot of regional conflicts changed their perspective now that the Russian threat is no longer there.
Is your father still alive?
No, he died about a week ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
yeah, okay.
Had he seen the movie? I was just wondering, it sounds like you worked out a lot of your feelings about your relationship with your father in the film.
Yeah. Well, of course I did, you know what I mean? Up to I did that film, there was a tape running in my head, you know, which was that all fathers were bullies and tough and, you know, that's the Irish father figure as portrayed in literature by the writers. And I don't care that we have genius writers in Ireland. I think it's a bullshit story. Most fathers are quite good. My father, of course, I had some small arguments with him. I had, you know, grown up rows when I was 17. But even now, like, when I read the papers, like, it's like as if I was fighting him all the time. And, you know, the truth of the matter was, most of the times I got on with him, and there was a truce, I suppose, you know, in many ways. Until lately, when I told him I was doing this film, or just before that, and we talked about my brother, one of my brothers who died, and we got a lot closer. And then when I started to make the film, he was very happy because somewhere deep down, all the father figures were him. And on the premiere night in Dublin, he was over the moon, totally happy. And it was like a reconciliation, this film. It was quite strange, actually, you know, to be burying your father when you had this film out called In the Name of the Father.
Had he been sick when you were making it?
No, not at all, really. It was a surprise thing. He was always well. He got terminal pneumonia.
Huh.
But I suppose, you know, in many ways, you know, good things come out of interior change, you know? And once I decided I was going to make a story about a good father, you know, it's like an antennae. You pick up the story out there. So, like, Jerry and, you know, if any, although an awful lot of bad came out of the Guildford story, at least one, you know, me and my dad and whatever that, you know, reconciliation, it wasn't like an earth-shattering thing, but it was nice for me to have before he died. And if it heals in other ways, this story, you know, it'll be great. And I think that a healing process needs to start, but the English and the British have never contextualized the means within which Northern Ireland can be healed. Now, if it takes us to contextualize it, if it takes the victims at last to fight back and put a new context, then so be it. But you realize, and you, if you ask any victims out there, be they women who are raped, be they children who are abused, be they nations that are abused, in the end, it's the victims that frame the healing process, not the victimizers. The victimizers only see that they're right. That they have to hold that, otherwise they collapse into self-hatred. And we don't want that to happen in relation to England. We actually think that you need a healing framework for the future. You need to visualise a future with peace. And we'll fight the IRA. You know, I mean, our film takes a stand against the IRA. And nobody has come up to us and said, you know, well done in England to that. They've only attacked us for bringing us the truth to light.
Has making this film made you more political?
Yes, it has in certain regards. It's made me more positively anti-violence, you know, but it's made me realise that violence occurs. It's an inadequate means of dialogue violence. It happens when people decide to vent their anger in horrific, obscene ways, or when they feel that they're not allowed to vent it in other ways. And I think it's a sad situation more than anything, you know. It's like, it's just a very, and we feel in Ireland, you know, that 99% of Irish people are non-violent. In fact, the least violent race in the world in many ways. You know, they say the fighting Irish, that's only because the rest of Europe robbed the world for hundreds of years. We were the only ones that didn't. And every 40 or 50 years, 5 or 10 people died fighting England or whatever. And they were called the fighting Irish because of that. So when the people who colonised the world framed the debate, they put words attached to us. I don't want those words to be attached to the Irish anymore. I realise in many ways that, you know, the Irish are like children also, you know. But children grow up and it's time we grew up, you know. I do feel that. And it's time, you know, the Irish in America got on the side of trying to build a peaceful framework and get the Catholic population of Northern Ireland, who are 20 to 50% unemployed, some work. You know, we need a new framework rather than the old trotted out cliches that have been coming out for the last 50 years. I don't know. I suppose I am political.
Jim Sheridan co-wrote and directed In the Name of the Father. Here's Sinead O'Connor from the soundtrack of the film.
I hope you're happy now. I could never make you so. You were a hard man. No harder in this world. You made me cold.
This is Fresh Air.